You're listening to Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickert. The House Intelligence Committee held its first public hearing into alleged Russian interference in the 2016 election today. Will we soon know more about the Kremlin's possible actions during the campaign? Join us at 7 o'clock tonight for the special We Got Hacked, Russia's Role in the U.S. Presidential Election. That's tonight at 7 on the Ideas Network. First, it's no secret that getting a new business off the ground isn't easy. One of the biggest struggles is finding the money to get the ball rolling on the new venture, which means another related struggle is getting people to believe that your idea is good enough to invest in. Traditionally, entrepreneurs have turned to banks, angel investors, and venture capital funds to fund projects in early stages. But in the digital age, the relatively new option for raising money is crowdfunding. Websites like Kickstarter and Indiegogo are well-known crowdfunding sites. They basically allow people to raise money by getting small donations from a large online community. Crowdfunding success stories include everything from Project Reading Rainbow, a digital version of the popular children's literacy program, to the Veronica Mars movie. But a new study shows that crowdfunding helps some entrepreneurs more than others. That's because people who choose to donate on Kickstarter or other sites like that may have hidden biases. Venkat Kupaswamy is co-author of the forthcoming study called The Colorblind Crowd: Founder, Race, and Performance in Crowdfunding. He's an assistant professor of strategy and entrepreneurship at the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill, and he joins us now. Venkat, welcome to Central Time.
It's a pleasure to be here. Thank you so much.
So who are the winners and the losers when it comes to crowdfunding?
Well, I think the winners are projects in general that traditional financiers overlook. But the losers seem to be minority entrepreneurs, or more specifically, black entrepreneurs. And so the promise of crowdfunding really has not been met.
So what's going on there with African-American entrepreneurs that they're not raising the same kind of money for their ventures that maybe a white entrepreneur is?
Yeah, I mean, this is something that we are really eager to test. Traditionally, in old-school entrepreneurial settings, black entrepreneurs just have a harder time getting capital from venture capitalists, banks, etc. And given that crowdfunding has a much broader reach across, you know, the digital ocean, we wanted to see whether, by opening things up via the internet, whether entrepreneurs succeed. Unfortunately, when we actually looked at the data, we found that while the general white man has a success rate of about 40%, for black entrepreneurs, it's about 18%. And when we looked further into it, we couldn't find any evidence that this was driven by smaller social networks, poor social networks, anything of that sort. We actually found strong evidence of an unconscious bias on the part of contributors. So in a nutshell, people were very biased, but they didn't know they were biased. And so when we showed them small hints that, hey, black entrepreneurs are very capable as well, the bias seemed to disappear.
So a couple things I want to follow up on. First of all, you said you found strong evidence of this unconscious bias. What kind of evidence?
Yeah, so what we did is we, to follow up a statistical analysis of actual Kickstarter projects that established a much lower success rate, we actually conducted an experiment where we had the exact same project shown to subjects, and all we did was one small change. We changed the picture of the entrepreneur from a white male to a black male, and we selected two photographs that were statistically equivalent along a number of metrics, including attractiveness, perceived honesty, et cetera, et cetera. And that subtle switch of a photograph caused a sharp decrease in the perceived quality of projects as assessed by subjects in the crowd. And this was across white respondents as well as non-white respondents.
Interesting. And then you said when you introduced hints that these entrepreneurs were successful, were likely to be successful, that the bias disappeared. Walk me through that. How did that work?
Yeah, so given that there's this decrease in the perceived quality, we wanted to know whether it's simply because of taste reasons, whether the crowd just had some dislike of black entrepreneurs, or whether it was an unconscious issue. And if it was unconscious, we would assume and we would predict that if you gently show hints of quality, that this bias would disappear. So what we did was very subtle things. We showed a banner above the pictures where we had small images of successful entrepreneurs in the past. So in the control condition, we had only white individuals listed in the banner, pictures of them. And in the treatment condition, we had one image of a black entrepreneur displayed amongst the other white and white entrepreneurs. And that small inclusion of a black entrepreneur in the profile of successful past entrepreneurs caused that to basically cause the bias to go away, and it was very strong. We also found that, for example, if you showed signs of success, for example, Kickstarter often has seals of approval or staff picks for various projects. If we put a staff pick on the project, we found that black projects benefited disproportionately more, and the bias was eliminated compared to white projects.
That's really interesting. So just a small picture made a big difference like that. And probably if you had asked most of these people, do you have any racial biases? And people are, it's difficult to be that self-aware, but they probably would have said no. What do you make of the fact that this was such a subtle change, but it had such a big effect?
Well, here's the thing. We really believe that people don't mean to be biased, but for various reasons, people have implicit tendencies. Another thing we tried was, you know, if you removed a photograph and put some company logo, would the bias go away? And we found that it did. So our thinking was as follows. We basically wanted to come up with solutions for this bias. So we felt that it was lacking or insufficient to basically show that there was discrimination. But, you know, if you're a minority entrepreneur, what can you do about it? So we wanted to devise solutions for platforms like Kickstarter and Indiegogo, as well as things that minority entrepreneurs could do to spin this bias on its head.
We're talking right now with Venkat Kupaswamy. He's an assistant professor of strategy and entrepreneurship at the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. And we're talking about the world of crowdfunding right now, websites like Kickstarter, Indiegogo, and how that platform may put people of color at a disadvantage, according to this study. And Venkat, listening to this story reminds me a bit of the conversations we've had and the pieces, the news about discrimination, say, at Airbnb or Uber. Do you think there are parallels there?
I think there are huge parallels there. In fact, there is evidence that in numerous crowd-based contexts, including Airbnb, I think there was a recent study on Uber that showed that people hailing Ubers were canceled more often if they were African American. And we're showing that there's evidence of discrimination in unconscious bias in Kickstarter and in other crowdfunding settings. And I think there are huge parallels. We were very cognizant of the Airbnb case, and that the Airbnb case is specifically why we tested whether removing the image altogether and putting a company logo might be beneficial, because we felt that this is something that Airbnb could employ to respond to criticisms and real problems with that platform. So there are huge parallels between various crowd settings, including ours and Airbnb.
Right. Why do you think that there hasn't been, maybe I haven't heard of it, but a solution-oriented sort of study like yours until now? We've become aware of some of these issues, but we haven't yet settled on a fix until maybe now.
Well, I think we weren't aware, first of all, that these sites had an issue. We'd like to think that the internet is a open space where people of different ethnicities and backgrounds are welcome. And, you know, unfortunately, we're finding that many of the biases offline translate really well online. And So as a result, the online settings have additional challenges where offline solutions to discrimination just don't work. So we're caught in a place where we are seeing evidence all seemingly every month that there's a new online setting where discrimination persists. But now it's up to us researchers to figure out what platforms can do about it. And if you think about the perspective of the platform owner, if you think about Airbnb or Kickstarter, Indiegogo, I mean, they're not really doing anything wrong per se. They just created an interface for people to connect. And they are seeing these sorts of biases exist. And so it's a moral question. If you are a platform and you see discrimination on your platform, do you have a business obligation to intervene, or do you at least have a moral one? And I think clearly there's a moral case to be made. And I think, at least in the case of Airbnb and crowdfunding websites, by making sure that it's an even playing field, I think everyone benefits. And so there's also a business case to be made.
Now, you looked at African Americans in this particular study. Did you also look at, or do you want to look at, other racial groups or ethnicities?
Oh, absolutely. That's actually what we're working on right now. My co-author, Peter Yunkin at McGill, and I, we're pursuing a study right now where we're looking at other ethnicities, including Asian Americans. We're looking at Hispanic Americans as well. And we want to see whether this bias is for all minority entrepreneurs or just African-American entrepreneurs. There is other work, for example, by Ethan Mollick and Jason Greenberg, that shows that women fare better on crowdfunding websites compared to men. And the question really is, do other ethnicities fare, are they in the same bucket as African-Americans, or are they in their own distinct buckets? And so we are actively pursuing that project right now and running the experiments as we speak.
Venkat Kupaswamy is with us right now. He's Assistant Professor of Strategy and Entrepreneurship at the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. And we're looking at the world of crowdfunding and how it may put African Americans at a disadvantage. And we want to hear from you. Tell us what you think by calling 800-642-1234 or post on the Central Time Facebook page. What do you think of services like Kickstarter or Indiegogo? Have you ever tried crowdfunding as a project or a business venture? And what kind of response did you get? Do you think that people of color, maybe African Americans, do face more discrimination, as this study showed, on these sites? And what do you think of the solutions that we've been talking about? Do you think this is a moral imperative for these companies to take action on this and to change this? Call us at 800-642-1234 or post on the Central Time Facebook page. We'll continue our conversation in just a bit here on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickert, and I'm continuing our conversation with Venkat Kupaswamy, Assistant Professor of Strategy and Entrepreneurship at the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. And we're looking at a study on crowdfunding sites done by our guests, sites like Kickstarter and Indiegogo, which found that African Americans face more bias when trying to raise money for a project or a business venture. And we want to know what you think. You can call us at 800-642-1234 or post on the Central Time Facebook page. If you've ever tried funding a project or a business venture, tell us if you think crowdfunding sites have helped or hurt you. Do you think sites like Kickstarter or even Airbnb and Uber and Lyft should be doing anything to make sure that minority users aren't facing discrimination? And do you think implicit bias impacts minority entrepreneurs using these crowdfunding sites? Have you maybe seen that in action or experienced it yourself? You can call in at 800-642-1234, or you can post on the Central Time Facebook page. And Venkat, have you approached any of these companies yet with your data and offer to help them set up, implement a solution?
Yes, we have. My co-author, Peter, he actually got in touch with, I believe, both Indiegogo and Kickstarter regarding our findings. And we basically sent them our results. And I think, I'm not too sure what happened, but I think they were receptive to it. And, you know, I think they are examining our paper. And, you know, coincidentally, if you were to look at Kickstarter's web pages today, You would probably observe that it's a little harder to see the entrepreneur's picture than it was perhaps a year ago. And I don't think this is necessarily, the result of our findings, but I think a general acknowledgement that there might be some biases in these online platforms, and perhaps showing the picture so vividly isn't the best approach. But again, that might be pure coincidence.
What is at stake for African Americans, for other ethnicities, when there is this bias to getting access to this venture capital money? Is this enough to have, you know, a big impact, not just on these people's lives personally, but on the diversity of entrepreneurship in the United States?
Absolutely. We are seeing day by day, there's increasing evidence that crowdfunding, for example, is an important source of seed capital for entrepreneurs, and it's an important gateway for entrepreneurs who may go on to achieve venture capital financing, angel financing, and other more traditional forms. It's a great arena to prove that you actually have a good idea, to show that there's a market demand for it. And if one group of entrepreneurs is being shut out, you know, it's really going to, constrain the diversity of ideas we see in the marketplace. And, you know, historically, minority entrepreneurs have faced a really rough road. And if we find that crowdfunding is not the solution, we need to fix that, because I think our results show that very small fixes can have a very strong effect.
And do you think right now, as it stands, that maybe anecdotally, if you're someone who's an African-American entrepreneur and you want to start up that business, you might think to yourself, you know, maybe Kickstarter isn't for me. My friends aren't having great experiences. This is not something that is going to work for me, and I have to look elsewhere.
Well, sorry, excuse me. What we are really careful to do is outline some strategies that Black entrepreneurs can employ to destroy this bias. So small things, if you are concerned, if you're Black and you are concerned that, you know, Kickstarter or Indiegogo might, not be the place for me, well, you know, you can obscure your picture with a great company logo and that'll work great. If I were in their shoes, I would drum up early support from your friends, from your family, because we have shown in our study that once you hit 10% of your goal, this bias can go away. So the bias really is early on in the project when there's no prior support, when there's a lot of uncertainty. But if you can get your friends and family to really represent those early contributions and put yourself over that initial hump, you can show a lot of social proof to others that your quality has some merit behind it, and the bias really goes away.
Are there any other tools like that? Because change is often slow to come around. You have these solutions, but they're not in place now. What else can Black entrepreneurs, other people who feel like they might be at a disadvantage, what can they do?
I think an extremely strong social media presence is very helpful on these platforms. So really get out the support through offline and online channels. Also seek endorsements from third parties. For example, on Kickstarter, it is not unusual to see an endorsement from, a magazine or some other entity that others might recognize and respect. And so outside endorsements are a big deal. And also just providing a very captivating story can go a long way. But I think if I really were to advise specifically minority entrepreneurs and Black entrepreneurs, I would say drum up that initial support through a strong social media campaign. And if you just want to, omit this issue altogether, it doesn't sound good and it probably feels terrible to even think of it. But we found that obscuring the image helps. But I feel wrong recommending that.
Right, that's one that feels like you shouldn't have to hide who you are
exactly.
To get investment. So, I mean, I understand that the money is important, but I mean, do you think that the companies involved also have bigger responsibility to have more diversity, say, on their boards, and to have more people of color in their communities in general?
I think this is a big issue across America today. What is the moral obligation of a business? Is it simply to provide goods and services, to serve as a platform? But when activities occur unintentionally beyond your reach, or perhaps even within your reach, do you as a company have an obligation to step in when you see something unjust? And I think, you know, at least in the case of discrimination in these crowd-based settings, the business case can be made for intervening. So ultimately, if these platforms care ultimately about profits, by involving oneself and by making small tweaks to the interface, or by, you know, endorsing or putting a staff pick behind Black projects a little bit more often than they might ordinarily be doing, I think the platforms win as well. I mean, the platforms win when every ethnicity, when every type of person can compete fairly and successfully on these platforms. And so the business case is the moral case in these crowd-based settings.
And Venkat, a couple seconds left. Are you hopeful that these changes will be made?
I'm very hopeful. I think the Airbnb case in particular has gotten so much attention that I think platforms are really, really examining whether biases exist. And I think we're going to see a turning point really soon where they take active efforts to mitigate this. I know Kickstarter, for example, you know, really embraces a community aspect to their organization.
And we're out of time. But Venkat, thank you so much for joining us.
Absolutely. It was my pleasure.
That was Venkat Kupaswamy, Assistant Professor of Strategy and Entrepreneurship at the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill, talking about a study that found African-American entrepreneurs face racial prejudice on crowdfunding sites like Kickstarter. I'm Veronica Rickert. This is Central Time.